Welcome to the Three Wise Monkeys podcast. This is a new podcast with three guys giving their perspectives and opinions, stories and experiences on everyday life. The Three Wise Monkeys metaphor was originally around speaking no evil, seeing no evil, or hearing no evil. We seem to be doing the opposite. We're the Three Wise Monkeys because we like throwing shit at each other. Enjoy.
You're now locked in to the Three Wise Monkeys.
Stay calm, bro. Stay calm.
What's the question?
It's your question.
Yeah, so the question was, do you think you've been moulded more by black culture than you have by brown culture? So living throughout your 10s, 20s and 30s, what do you think has moulded you more?
I think it's a combination, isn't it? Because growing up when you were young, you're surrounded by obviously what your parents are into and the music and the food, and you're kind of restricted, especially in our kind of culture. So you're brought up with that as your background. And then
as background, yes, but the influence to how you are, how you carry yourself on a daily basis.
Yeah, it would have been, absolutely, because it would have played a massive part, because I wouldn't have been as aware of the black culture until I was more open to it as I got older.
But when do you think you start becoming more aware of things in general? So consciously, probably aware of music, taking it, going to something, you know, I'm going to go listen to some music myself.
Like mid-teens.
Mid-teens?
Yeah.
And how about you? Well, I suppose you're more brown than most of us, so your ringtone's pretty still bullet to the
Yeah, for me, it's definitely more, I've been moulded by brown culture. I mean, I listen to more Indian songs than I do any English songs, any rap music that you find. The latest English song you might find on my phone or anything that I was
Miami listening. Will Smith.
It might have been something by Will Smith, you never know.
Big Willie style.
But yeah, I think the last English tune I would have listened to maybe what Apple made us download, that U2 album.
That was
a terrible, but I'm saying something. For me, I reckon I started listening to music probably when I was about 8 or 9 years old, and the majority was garage music, which I'd probably say is a mix. Hip hop music, predominantly black, and then the way I dress, the slang you use, the movies you watch is probably for the culture, I would say. And it's probably more black culture than brown culture.
Yeah, I'd say now, from mid teens onwards, when you've got that kind of freedom, you know, your parents have stepped away from, you know, what they influence you with, and you're kind of thinking on your own too, and you want to rebel against a bit of that as well. I think, yeah, black culture made a massive part, and now I'd say black culture plays a...
How much, though? How much would it... How many black films do you think you've seen? When I say black films, I mean, or hip-hop films. How many hip-hop films have you seen?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Like Belly, have you seen Belly?
No.
Have you seen Boys in the Hood?
Yeah.
But all of these are kind of niche films that come out of hip-hop.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call them commercial.
Well, the Fridays probably are.
Fridays are more of a hip-hop film. I'd call it one for the culture. Fridays such a good film, man.
Yeah.
That might be the best, actually. But in terms of slang, how much do you still use?
I use a lot of slang in my day-to-day. Around when I was speaking to certain mates, I would use a fair amount of slang.
Do you use slang?
I slang a bit. I don't slang a lot. I mean,
you say I don't slang. You can tell you don't slang when you say I don't slang.
But in terms of the slang that you use, is it what you've learned, what you've got from these black movies that you're mentioning, or is it just general, like what you've grown up?
I reckon it's just
combination,
just culture, isn't it? When you talk to people, you watch whatever, and it just gets.
I think music, stuff that's on TV, what you're kind of exposed to as well plays a lot of part into...
It's changed, though. I reckon a lot of it is not even American. A lot of it is just London. So there's some stuff you'll say, or is being said, that's like, doesn't get said in something like Birmingham or Manchester. but it's just London.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Any examples?
I want to test it actually.
A bit of experiment.
Because there's a lot of slang out there, and I've seen a lot of slang like tests and stuff when Top Boy was released and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'll test both of you.
All right.
So we'll start with.
How many questions is this?
No, you know what? It's just words.
It's just words.
It's just words, and see if you know. So, Koch, for you.
Koch. Is that when you get something? You Koch it.
Nah, man. You're coaching at someone's house, or maybe you just you're chilling at someone's house. You know that. Dash.
You've got to run, isn't it?
No, it's not running, is it? It's kind of
your dash. Throwing. Let's go.
Yeah, all right. We're throwing something away. You're dashing it. Ping. Oh,
wait, when something's fit, someone's like on point.
Leng.
Huh?
Leng.
No idea. Not a clue.
Have a guess.
Leng.
Yeah. L E N G.
What if? I assume it might be the opposite of peng.
No,
which
it's
is
not.
Leng.
You know what it is?
Yeah, leng is like a gun.
Yeah, correct. For you then, bait.
Well, it's obvious.
Peas.
Well, rice and peas.
No, what is this?
It's paid by pounds.
This is money, yeah. Crepes.
Trainers.
Nang.
Why am I getting these stupid ones? Nang.
These aren't stupid. This is
nang is when it's dead.
No, yeah. It's the opposite.
Is it? Is Nang mean good? I thought Nang meant it was dead.
Have you heard the DW song Nang? I'm way too Nang.
No.
Yeah. Bally.
Sagu.
Sagu. Bally Sagu. Did you say that? What?
Bally.
Come on, Bally.
Nah, honestly.
We spoke
about
this 2 weeks ago.
We did this.
Did we?
Yeah.
No, we didn't.
What do you mean Bally Sagu? No one's walking out going, Bally Sagu, bro.
No, honestly, I've got no clue.
Balaclava, isn't it?
Sure.
All right, guap.
Money.
Drip.
As in, I want a drink.
No. Drip is when you're dripping, isn't it? When you're like, you've got something nice, you're dripping like a bit of like, something shiny.
One for you then, still. You overuse this.
That's just a phrase though, isn't it? That's not even a slang abbreviation. That's when it's still. As you just say still. That's happening still. Is it ongoing?
All right, peak.
I do know this one, but
the way you answered that is like shit. It's like on an exam. I know that one.
peak. I mean, that's really bad. Kind of saying like, oh, that's peak. I mean,
I'll give you that.
I think I'm using many different. Like, you could say that's peak, and that's we've had enough of that. That's peak. That's dead. You there's different ways you can use the word
people. And then rare tete.
Rare tete. Never fucking heard that one, mate.
It's almost like, you know, it's like, and so on and so on, whatever.
What, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, like that, exactly like that.
Like rare tete?
Yeah.
Never heard that.
Yeah, it's a thing, mate.
Fuck, he's made that one up. That is dead.
Dead, yeah, he's dead. But anyway.
But yeah, but I mean, coming back to culture, but like, you know, there's a point when you're growing up where being brown is quite cool.
Well, like, when was that cool, bro?
Oh, I missed that.
There was that one point.
I'll tell you now when it became dead, right? When those two towers went down. I'll tell you, I didn't want to be brown then, boy.
What was it cool?
Okay,
so there's that point where Punjabi MC's track went big.
You know what that is now? I'll tell you what that is now, right? When that goes off in the club, everyone goes, vroom, and they start looking at you.
And you're there, full on doing bonga on the dance floor, because I am.
Standard.
It does work. And then it goes back into flipping a little pump. And like, all right.
No, but there was that period when we were growing up where films like, it was quite regular as well, like Eastersies came out, Bend It Like Beckham. There's a couple of others as well. They came out around that similar sort of time.
I know what you're saying.
And those films did, and they did make a cultural impact, or like,
cause you know why they made a cultural impact, right? Because the masses were looking at it, and they were exposing stereotypes.
I think that's always been around. If you think about it, go back further and go, goodness gracious me,
yeah.
That's been so much. I was out so much before those films, so I think it's been in the background for a long time. But I don't think, back to your point, I don't think I've ever thought it's cool to be Indian. I don't mind being Indian. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I hate being Indian. That's not the point. But I remember I must have missed a phase. It must have skipped me when I thought it would be cool to be Indian.
What was the best film? What was the best brown crossover film?
I can't really choose that. I mean, I like, for me, it's a tie between Eastersies and Bend It Like Beckham.
Beckham is pretty good.
Only because you fancy Beckham, bruv. I reckon it was.
Wait, everyone fancies Beckham.
East is East, I think. East was so funny, man.
It is. I mean, it's still hot. I mean, I'd probably still watch that over Bender Like Beckham. So, yeah,
I'd say
East. To be honest, I wouldn't put either on.
What?
I mean, yeah.
Bro, how often? I used to watch that film and start calling people bloody bastard afterwards. It's the best film. It had so many good comical bits in it.
Coming up to that now, though, I mean, that was when we were growing up. How much of your culture do you reckon you can teach your kids? Like, this kind of stuff. Because you're saying you're more formed by culture that's not more...
I think
you're influenced by more non-brown cultures. Would you be able to...
How much of the brown culture do you exercise right now?
I think this is a very good point, because it brings us back to what we discussed in our first podcast, when we talked about marrying and marrying culture and all that sort of stuff. We've chosen to, or within reason, we've chosen to marry within our culture to remain partial to that, because we want
to remain. I'm using air quotes, pure.
Yeah, if you want to say pure, yeah. But the point is. I would still want to exercise traditions. With my children, I'd still want them to grow up and speak our native language, absolutely, because I think it's really important. And I want them to sound like they can speak it, not like they're just...
Brother, you only speak it in anger. Have you not heard yourself? The only time I've ever heard you speak it is a bit of anger.
It's probably true.
Or when you're speaking to, like...
Elders.
Yeah. Apart from that, it's just swearing, bro.
Yeah, it's true. This is true. But I think I'd want to continue that, and I think that's a part of the reason why, along with the upbringing as well, that you kind of marry within, so you can continue that as well. That's my thoughts, anyway.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a tough one though. It's a tough one because I reckon
it's watered down now.
It's watered down. That's probably the right way of putting it.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of stuff
diluted.
Like your kids will be at a certain age. Like how many times did you ever say in going to family houses, or going to a wedding, we're all going.
Mm.
Going to anyone's house, we're all going. And you just end up listening to conversations. Or even going back to India, how often do you think you'll go back to India with your kids?
Yeah, it's true, because the generations aren't there anymore.
Because that's where it was, that's where I learned the culture.
Because our cousins and everything else, they're all no longer even there. So when you go, I'm going back home, that back home isn't India anymore. The back home is probably, I'm going Leicester, or I'm going Gravesend. Or I'm going Bradford, or I'm going...
Southall.
Yeah, so...
You sound like you come from Southall, bro, I tell you. You've got that Southall
really?
Twang. Yeah, you have got that twang, like, I mean, I'm going to break someone's heart, that sort of twang.
I mean, I spent a lot of my years around that, I mean, West London kind of area, because like, a lot of my relatives are out there, my cousins and stuff, so whenever I had holidays, I was there.
But there's more culture there. So if you're raising your kid in Southall, there's a lot of culture there, man. There's a lot. What's 100%. That street called?
Green Street.
No, Green Street's East
Side. Broad Street.
Broadway.
Broadway, South Broadway,
That is just... Brown people have just taken that place over. It smells like India. Brown people in there.
It's just like India, that is.
It is ridiculous, but you could probably raise your kids...
I mean,
I don't know if you want to.
This is something my parents used to tell me. Like, back in the day, when you used to first come to the UK... There's that famous pub, Glassy Junction in Southall.
Yeah.
They used to take rupees.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
That's carnage.
They take
rupees. That's a bad investment now, isn't it? You're thinking, shit, 100 rupees to a pound. I'm going broke. Yeah, it's a fair point, man. I don't know. I think it'd be tough to raise kids. I think they'll almost raise themselves.
Yeah, I think you can do it with the best interest at heart.
Yeah.
You can really try. And I think we're all in the same boat as we'd want a big element of that within our kids' lives, but it's like, you know, like I said, it's so watered down. It's gonna be hard work to kind of if you think about it, if our parents were 100% culture bias, we're probably at like 60% now.
But they were almost forced to hang around with each other because they all came over together, right?
Yeah.
You know, when they all came over from India, whatever, all they knew is their cousins, friends, or people they could relate to who have also come over.
Yeah.
And they're working with those people. Now,
but back home was really important to them. So every
year, it was
money going back home, I'm going to go visit, blah.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. If they were 100% biased on that front of culture, we're probably maybe 60, dwindling down.
I'd probably say I'm about 70.
Yeah, I mean, you're strong 90 still, bro.
You're ridiculous. You are ridiculous. I don't think if you open your wallet up, you've got a fiver and you've got a bit of roti next to it.
Yeah. Just because I follow Indian movies, music and stuff like that.
Crazy,
but it doesn't mean I'm more culturally inclined towards. I mean, in terms of,
no, like, but you're closer to it than us.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Fair enough.
I'd say. So. So yeah. I think that's the point. I think we've gone off on a tangent. I think it's harder, and I think it's scarier for probably our kids. So our grandkids, if we live up to that age, it's gonna be scary to see what they're gonna be like. They're gonna be like fucking green and purple.
I reckon religion would be abolished as well, to be honest. I reckon,
you know what,
a lot.
I think about that. How much relevant is religion going
to
be?
There's certain, you know, there's certain religions out there that are actively looking to grow, and then you've got some that are, well, how do I say it? They're just some that are just people that participate in it. Like, for me, you've got our parents who are religious, and you've got us who kind of follow their lead. But then, will my kids are going to follow my lead, which is I'm lapsed. I'm like a
you're
lapsed, like, yeah. Like, this is what a lapsed. I'm a lapsed Sikh. So like, I wake up on Sunday and go, oh, shit, I should have gone today.
Every Sunday. Do you Sunday, actually think that?
That's what a lapsed. Like, am I practicing?
But you're
no,
not,
I ain't practicing.
But you're not even thinking about it.
I'm not really thinking. So I'm not massively religious, to be honest. No. So that's me.
But it ties into morals, doesn't it? Because actually, I think culture influences your morals. I do believe that. I think you still got good morals. So even though you're lapsed away from your religion, I think your culture has embedded a strong amount of morals in you. So even though you don't...
Yeah, so that the stuff that makes logical sense and that is...
almost go against your values.
Yeah, the stuff that works in everyday life, like being a good person,
yeah,
telling the truth... It might be informed by religion hundreds of years ago, but now it's what's working now. If someone goes to me, bruv, if you walk out your door, turn left, go 10 steps, and start praying, you're going to get this. I'd be like, who? Get out of him. Just move. But
yeah.
what you're going to teach to your kids is being a good person, telling
it
the truth.
And then, you know what? I think you're absolutely spot on. When as we start to, there'll always be, look, we're probably at the tail end of the spectrum where people maybe are in our age bracket that practice more, but we're probably in a place where we're dwindling down our religious,
yeah,
you know, our beliefs a little bit.
Because what you want to teach your kids anyway, is what religion was probably supposed to be for. You take the good bits, leave out all the political bullshit, and that's what you want to teach your kids, just to be a good person. If you
which
want to try,
which is morals.
Yeah, morals, being doing the right thing, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's what it come down to. I think it'll just come down to being a decent human being.
I reckon you should still beat your kids though.
Yeah,
give them a slap with the newspaper or whatever.
Throw an Argos book at them.
Did your parents ever want you to be something, vocation wise?
Absolutely. I think everyone's parent.
So if you followed to a T everything that your parents say, what would you have been?
And what followed their chosen career path for me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Probably either a doctor or a lawyer. Probably a lawyer, I think.
And when did you figure out that ain't happening?
Probably at university.
Really? Up until university, you still think you'd be a doctor or a lawyer?
That lawyer sort of police lawyer background.
Okay,
yeah.
Right, yeah. I think mine would have been some sort of like an engineer or an accountant.
Yeah, I reckon the same for me. And then when you get that first maths test back and you're like, you need to do some work there, son.
Yeah.
But I need to figure it out.
I think for me it was when at university at that point when I didn't really, I did like a module or two of law and it didn't do nothing for me. And then I just kind of thought, yeah, forget it, I'll do it on the police horse. And then the rest is kind of history because none of it really worked out. But
yeah, fair enough.
I think for me, I kind of derailed just after GCSEs.
Well,
because obviously we were at the same secondary school. I was in the top sets for all the classes and all that kind of stuff. My results were always good. And then, boom, A-levels, first year A-levels.
Bro, I never saw you. I never saw you.
Weed.
the weed hit or whatever it was. I don't know what it was. But in the register, boy, he was just never there. I don't know if I was in any of your classes. To be honest, you might have been in every one of my classes. You just never turned up.
I was in one class together.
I was in one class with him. I don't think I was in any class with you.
I probably weren't. The only time I ever saw you was in that leather jacket. He's here again, is he? Fair enough. Coming to show up his leather jacket, when he'd be duck out for
the rest of the year,
2 months. Just on weed, did you ever know any people selling drugs at school?
Did I know people selling drugs at school?
Or were people actively taking drugs at school?
As in secondary school?
Yeah.
No, that wasn't obvious to me. Cigarettes was. Cigarettes and alcohol. Even alcohol was touch and go. I never thought alcohol was rife.
Oh, man, I saw so much
I knew about the...
prove it.
Kind of just did.
I saw a lot. I mean, there was...
How much were you selling it for?
I wasn't selling any of it. I was selling music, son. I remember at one point, I think it was sixth form.
That's not secondary.
Year 11, sixth form, weed started becoming popular at school.
Yeah.
Right? And a friend of mine, who in year 7 was a good friend of mine, year 8 was a good friend, and it just started... He was a bit too dumb, and he was like low sets, and I was like going a little bit higher or whatever. So we just... And then I remember we used to play football. You remember that backfield?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We used to play football there, and there was that hill. Do you remember that hill from the tennis courts? He used to come down into it. He came down that... His face was twisted. It looked like someone kneaded his face with like dough. It's gone. He was frazzled.
Beaten
up? Nah, he was high. Oh. He was so high. And someone passed the ball to him, football. The football bounced, right? He misjudged the bounce because he was high. It slapped him straight in his face, and just spun him, and he kept walking on. The ball was in the bushes somewhere. He just kept walking. He was so high. I remember a friend of mine started dealing drugs at school, and you think, "Well, what's going on here?" But I think it was more rife than you probably knew.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. I think if you're in the crowd, you know more.
Yeah, I think at that age, I kind of wasn't in that circle. It wasn't even in my...
I didn't even want to be. I was just there. I didn't take it.
But like, I mean, coming to that, have you ever done weed?
Nothing. I'm as clean as they come.
You are. Is
I haven't clean. Touched it. No cigarettes, no weed, no cocaine, nothing.
According to this, you wonder.
I am. Just alcohol, that's it. But then if alcohol was classified as a drug, it should be class A.
It should be. I've tried weed before. It hasn't really done anything for me. I've tried CBD, but CBD is non-psychoactive.
That takes the bit that gets you higher out.
It reduces inflammation and all this sort of stuff. But
what have you not tried?
What have you got on you now?
Funny guy. No, I've only done drugs wise, just weed, and that's it.
Nothing else.
Let's check your hair now, bro.
That surprises me.
Why does that surprise you?
I thought we were a party animal.
Maybe you don't. But the alcohol's...
Alcohol,
it's alcohol.
Alcohol, a hell of a drug for you, Roy. You drink more than most.
You know, it's funny. I was out last Friday with some boys. We're at this restaurant, Indian restaurant, where you can bring your own booze.
Yeah.
And in walks this bunch of uncles. And what have they got on them? A bottle of Amrut.
No.
But listen, that drink finished me, yeah?
It's still recovering.
Oh, that drink finished me. I don't know, who chose it? You chose it, didn't you?
No, we all looked at it and you were like, I'll have a bit of that, yeah.
Yeah, because I thought we were splitting it.
My stag. And they just couldn't give it away quick enough.
Yeah, because they never sold it.
They gave it away,
yeah,
literally.
That's the only bottle they had. No, to it, I did suggest it. Because I tried it before, like a whiskey tasting thing.
Of course, I'm sure you did.
And
toothbrush, like, now I'm awake.
And I thought it was alright at that point, but this, I'm talking years ago, I tried this.
It's probably the same bottle they gave me. Fuck me. I thought we were going to split it three ways, and I look over, and there was a tumbler the size of like a noodle plate. I'm thinking, what? And then they put the whole bottle in, which went about halfway up. And then I was like, what's the mixer? And he goes, just a little bit of water.
They
put water in it, didn't they?
They put ice in it, or just... I think it was just ice.
Bro. Was it the one that took you so long to drink?
Yeah, did you taste it?
No, that's for you.
Look at me. That wasn't the one that finished me, though. Because what did we do that night? We had...
Kevin playing pool.
We had...
And you was getting worse. Worse.
Yeah, because the flipping Amrut killed a boy.
And worse. Game after game.
Yeah, but we had... So we were having shots. We were doing...
Mate, you were still nursing... The glass of Amrut.
But I didn't want it. I was trying to find a plant in there. To try and pour it in, and the plants in there. And then we had, look, the pool game. Let's just forget about that.
That was so bad, the pool game. This guy can play pool that night. Fucking hell, someone else. He was shit.
Do you know what it was? It was, who bought tequila?
Watch this shot. It's got
I think everybody bought around the shots. Because there was tequila, there was Sambucas, there was...
The Zambuca wasn't great, but we had it. But then who bought the tequila, bro? I need a name.
Because I think it's your cousin.
I think it's your yeah. there was some Jaeger as well. I think
the Jaeger was fine as well. Jaeger's disgusting. No, Jaeger's quite sweet. It's all right.
Yeah, I can
listen. Whoever bought the tequila, I had the sip of it. I shot it back, and it just finished me straight away. It just
He was chundering everywhere.
So that's when I was like, oh, I'm gonna be sick. And someone, I can't remember. Maybe it was cousin and another mate. Yeah. Took me into the toilets, and all I remember was just puking at the door. So I almost opened the door with my puke, and then one of my boys just left me. So I forget that. And then food went everywhere, and my cousin goes, "You don't chew your food." And I was like, what a weird thing to say. Half a burger came up, and then closing time, I didn't even know what happened after that. At that point, that's when I'm starting to like, the black light is starting to come in.
That was the first night, and we.
Do you know how much it fucked me?
I didn't even go into the toilet. To see
you. I did, because the person who left you there, I was like, all right, let me go check on him. I walked in, and I was like, nope. Just walked straight back out.
I was dead. And also, dressed like a prick in this pink tutu and a pink vest. And I'm thinking, man, I'm going to get arrested on this first night, just puking everywhere.
Talking about being arrested. So, let me put a question to you both. Mm-hmm. If I was arrested with no explanation, what would you both assume I'd done?
It's going to be speeding, maybe a hit and run, something to do with your car, bruv.
You reckon?
100%, mate. 100%. It's something to do with your motor, because you drive like a lunatic.
I don't.
Nah, well, let's just undertake to get one little second from an hour and a half journey, because I need that second. Nah, you drive like an angel, son.
I'm pretty much on the same. I think it'd be speeding, or someone's hit your car and you come out the person.
It's time for it's time to have a fight or something like that. It's your motor, bro.
I thought that'd be more exciting than that.
Nah, you're not killing anyone. You're not dealing drugs.
Nah.
It's hit and run, bro. You're dangerous on the road.
So on that basis, I think we should go around the room and we'll all do each other.
Go on then.
So who's going first?
I do me.
So like, what do we reckon then? I think it's got to be something to do with a broad and a stag do. I think you've gone a bit loony. You've drunk a bit too much.
I'm not going to say rape. I'm not going
to. But you've
thanks for that.
but you've probably arrested as a group of boys rather than as an individual is what I would think.
Oh man, what would he do? Yeah, I reckon it probably would be something abroad. Banged up abroad. It could be like that.
Yeah.
Just a fight. Or glassing someone. You're not even aggressive, though.
No, he's not aggressive.
What could it be? Ah, I reckon it'd be smuggling people from abroad in the van.
What? You know,
Delir Mindy. You know what he was doing. No. One of those. 100%. No. Like,
I think it's more I think you'd be in a place where if he was out with a group of lads and someone started in the group of lads, he'd be quite defensive of that, is what I think.
Yeah, or he's you know those guys who drive around in a van and they've got all the illegals going to the site? I reckon you'd drive with that van, bro.
I see that as well.
What do you think it would have been then for you?
I mean, I think he's probably hit the nail on the head. Not driving around in a van with illegal immigrants.
On the site, lads, go on, off you jump. Yeah.
Who is it? I asked that guy, blaring the Indian music. Let's pull him over. Maybe. Go on then.
What's that with this guy? I think you'd probably be getting arrested for something that someone's done to offend your close proximity. So what I mean by that is your close family or a close friend. If someone's overstepped the mark and you've gone to defend, is what I'd say. But it would only be within your close proximity. It wouldn't be outside of like your family circle. Very, very, very rare. Because I think you've got a temper, but it would be only kind of ticked off at that point. I can't. If someone takes your wife, you know, you're probably but they'd have to push you.
Yeah,
I think they'd have to push you for you to react to the point where you're getting arrested.
Yeah, I agree with that one. Because I feel like me, you're not the. I've never seen you in the aggressive mode.
No, maybe.
But yeah, maybe you've said something sarcastic to someone, and they've reacted, and you've had to
deal with it. Beaten up is what happens. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not dealing with it.
You'll get arrested for being in a fight.
Being better. you started this fight and you couldn't finish it. He was smaller than you. Ah, fuck.
I think that's what it is. That's what I'd probably link you to, or someone left you to no resort where you've had to injure him for you to get arrested. It'd have to be like pushing you right to the edge, is what I think. I've probably got the shortest fuse out of three to my reactions.
What did you say you think you were going to be in jail for?
I didn't. I said I thought it would be more than.
So what do you think it would be then?
It would probably. I thought I would have been more linked around what I've described about you. As in, if someone's crossed the
line. That would probably be.
I think that's probably for anyone though.
Or not paying like car fines probably. Well, you got 6 months worth of car fines here. So what are you doing?
I'll pay my car fines. I'll pay them straight away. My wife reminds me.
Direct debit.
It's a direct fee, mate. I tell you.
You're a joke, mate.
I get the bit because I am aggressive on the road, so I get that bit as well. So I guess I can link to that.
Have you ever worked with smelly people at work?
Yeah, you know what? Yeah.
I complain about
that. That's probably the way to handle it. There used to be a guy.
Bruh, in your case, you complain about your family. What's going on?
Yeah, working from home and that. Yeah, this is true. This is true. Like, what's that smell? Oh, you know what? It's probably me. You know, he farts and an hour later circles back. That's a good point, you know.
Now, this is my first job when I was working in a little call centre, and it was a couple. Always stank, right? And eventually I just sent an email to HR, like, can you like get them to go home and shower or something, or like put me in a separate like desk, because I
wouldn't go that far. That's going too far up the chain. I'd attend direct.
Huh?
I'd attend direct.
Yeah, well, I did that once.
I've had a couple of people, and I've had quite a few times, because of my profession, you boys know, surrounded by people all the time, and you get smelly workers, you do. And you'll get customers every now and then, like, what's that smell? And you know it before the customers do. You know, oh yeah, I know who that is. So you just got to dance around it and say, oh, you know what, we've had a couple of complaints. And you get a group of them. You can't send too direct. You get a group of people and say, guys, look, we need to engage you all. We've had a couple of complaints coming through. We need to really, and that's hard. You're working hard, so you need to work on keeping yourself clean.
You're too professional, mate.
Yeah, that's how you do it. I won't call them out like
when I was at work, when I was working, I used to work for a small company, right? And there was one geezer who, you look at his car, you think, oh my God, all he's got in there is Red Bull cans. So he's just living on Red Bull taurine every day.
Fucking terrible new arsehole, that shit
coming
out of him.
And he used to wear a Gap hoodie every day.
Yeah, like my red hat.
Yeah, and he'd come in, and for the first bits, we're like, what's that smell? Is it coming from the air vents? Like, who's selling the big issue in here? Like, what's going on? Right? And then it was him, because he'd walk into a room, and you'd be in there, and he'd walk out, and you think, something still smells, and you'd follow the smell around, and it was him. And we called him into a meeting room, and we're like, listen, bruv. Your smell is starting to offend us now. You need to sort this out. And I think a couple of weeks later, he just left.
Wow.
Started his own business. And then he came back to give his stuff back, right, laptop and that. This is 2 weeks after, and he goes, oh, you know what? I've lost everything. The business didn't work. And we're like, gave him the two fingers and say, see you later, man. have a good one. It's hard to work with smelly people, man. I smelled this guy on the train the other day. I'm like, fucking hell, this is ridiculous. I could taste it. My eyes are burning. This is just offensive. I can't even describe to you. You can't even think about it. It's just horrendous. You know, clubbing, do you reckon it's worth getting a table?
In a club?
Mm.
It depends on how many people are going.
Depends who the fuck's organising it.
The last table we got was for the last minute stag. Listen.
Yeah.
I don't know, was it you organised it?
Yeah. I think
this is what the specification was, right? Listen, I want to be in a club where there's only over 40s in there. Right, this was a specification. Only over 40s. I want a tray of drinks that nobody knows about. Nobody knows what the brand is, and I want to be sat behind a wall. you know what? When we sat behind the wall, I thought this is great for the checklist. Everything's been ticked. And then, what did you order as a drink?
No, I didn't. It was a choice of two drinks.
They gave you a choice of four drinks.
No, it was two or three.
No, they gave you.
This club sounds dead right now. It's like, you know what, you're in a garage and you've only got two.
The day started off by, we're going out. Yeah, should we get a table? Yeah, there's this club. And we all looked at this club and we're like, nah, that club is shit. It looks like the wrong club. We don't need to go there. Let's find another club. Oh, I found another club, bruv. Okay, cool. Should we get a table? Yeah, okay, get a table. So we rock up to this club and we then go in the club and it's called the name of the club that we originally said was shit. So they obviously rebranded it on the outside, but the inside's the same. And the table, they've looked at us and they've almost winced and said, we're sorry.
Yeah, that's what happened, didn't it?
They winced and they said, we're sorry. It was the room, literally, the dance floor was far right.
Yeah.
The closest left was the toilets, and then there was our booth, if you want to call it a booth. It was a closet.
It didn't even have a velvet rope around it. They're like, I forget this one.
Mate,
it did, didn't it?
It was roped off to say, don't want to sit here. Shit.
Under construction.
I remember, and the drinks, yeah, we were out. We were out of there quick.
They gave us the whole sparkler treatment and everything.
Yeah, and we were like, no sparklers. And then people walking down the stairs...
Because you're right in front of the entrance.
Yeah, they're walking down the stairs and they're like, what are they celebrating?
The embarrassment I felt.
It was bad.
Oh, it's like you're celebrating. Oh, yeah, I'm just...
I
just beat cancer. this is the table you get.
And this is the stag
now, put me back on the chemo.
Oh,
mate, that was terrible.
That was pretty bad, but... It is what it is, right? I mean, it's one of those things, because like you said, We found a club, we're like, no, we're not going there. Then we asked around, I think someone recommended a club, we were like, all right, we're just going to book this place because we can't find anything else.
We were all
pretty clueless. Tables are worth it in general, though?
If you've got a good crack around you, then it's worth it. Because the dance floor can be rammo. Think about where we was when we went to your stag, and that dance floor was rammo. If we had a table booked, how much better would that be?
Yeah.
So if it's four, five, or six of us around a table.
Yeah, we should have got a table.
So much better. Now, that was lastminute.com. We couldn't have got a table.
No, they did offer us a table, I think. It's just...
We all said no,
yeah.
All right. Well, back to your point.
You all fucking spunked it on another activity. Still getting nightmares from that.
So I've got nightmares of you just looking at us. Oh, shit.
Yeah, I would have killed a man that night, I tell you. Fucking hell. Never going to forget that for hell or high water. Jesus Christ.
Listen, think about this scenario. If you were transported 50 years into the past with no clothes, nothing else on you.
What is this, Terminator?
How would you prove that he was from the future?
50 years ago, yeah?
Yeah, 1969.
Are we considering the butterfly effect in this time travel? Like, are events going to play out in the past?
Stay calm.
Yeah.
Do you know what the big butterfly effect is, yeah?
The big butterfly effect?
The butterfly effect.
No.
This is what I'm saying, stay calm.
I've seen elements of it, but if you describe it, I'm sure I could jump on that.
As in, if you affect something now, it changes the future and all this
stuff. That's not confusing. The question is, it's 50 years in the past, and you've got to convince them you're from the future. How are you convincing them? It's 1969. You've got nothing. You've got no capri on you. You've got no clothes on you. No mobile phone. No gadgets. No nothing.
That's a good question.
And events are going to play out in history as they were.
Fuck the events in history.
No, we're talking about... Because you could use...
You'd be like, you know what?
You've got to convince them. You can't turn around and say, oh yeah, the Twin Towers are going to go...
Just wait 50 years.
They were like, fucking arrest this guy. He's part of it. You got to convince them you're from the future.
What would you say? What would you do? It's what you would do, right? If you didn't know what was coming up in the future, but you knew you had knowledge of the future.
How are you convincing them?
Oh, that's a good question, man. I bet there's something obvious.
I would talk about all the technology that I'm aware of that is yet to come. Stuff that would bombazzle them.
They could probably think you're mad, chucking a loony bin.
Yeah, they might, but also the amount of stuff you're coming up with, they'd be like, whoa, this guy may be onto something. Think about all the technologies that we've had, all the cars, phones, TVs.
How are you proving it?
You're not, but you've got all these ideas. Those ideas weren't like that back then. No one's talking about a touchscreen phone. No one's talking about cars that run on electricity. No one's talking about that stuff in 1969.
So 10 years later, you're 1979.
Yeah.
None of this has materialised. What are you saying?
I'm not about there and then.
Yeah,
but I'm about there and then. None of it's going to be materialising, but 10 years is
a... They're going to look at you like you've been a part of Jimi Hendrix's little smoking crew. Like, that ain't happening.
No, but my point is, back to my question, how would I go about proving that I was from the future? I'd be coming up telling them about all these ideas.
Doesn't prove anything, though.
No, but no one else has come up with those ideas in 1969.
Yeah, well, at that point, it's because technology or whatever is at a certain level, yeah. And you've got this guy...
talking about stuff.
They're going to lock you up in a home, bruv.
They probably are.
Padded rooms.
And the fact that you're brown.
Who is this guy? He should be working for me right now. Go take the bins out, Jeffrey.
I think that's what I've been doing. I mean,
you've got no idea, so... We're still thinking about it. It is a difficult one. I mean, you've got the route that you're saying.
I'd be like, put money on Brazil in that next World Cup. England are going out semi-finals. Say no more. 2 years later, happens. Well, a year later,
right? Yeah.
But you're saying you can't say that?
No, I'm saying how are you going to convince them there and then you're from the future?
I think it's difficult. I think it's really difficult. Mm. There's probably a way of doing it. I've got no fucking answer for this.
Stumped.
This might be deleted.
No, why would you delete this?
No, I'm not deleting it, but I've just got no...
I've got no answer. I mean, that's an interesting scenario, but... elections coming up.
Oh, what?
Are you guys voting?
I choose not to talk about my political stance on the show.
This geezer would rather talk about knocking one out in the shower than his political stance.
Am I voting? I'll probably get shot for saying this, but no. I'm one of the majority, they're no longer minority, I'm one of the majority of people that will probably state that stance of one vote doesn't matter, and there are probably about 300,000 of us, and so...
Are you voting? Are you not voting because you don't know enough about the policies?
Not even.
Lazy.
Because if I wanted to, I could easily pick up online, look at the manifestos. It's not being about, do I not know enough, because if I was interested, I would research about it. But to what avail, you can see things for how they are. You know, one vote here, one vote there. You get different... They're all the same. They're part of the same mix.
Are you not backing what you think will make a change in your life? Or not a change?
I think the way I am as an individual, I embrace change. So regardless of who it is that's going to come along, I'll just take it for how it is.
Just take it on the chin.
Yeah, just move on. Just accept and that's just accept but
if you know that change is going to be negative, why should you accept that?
They're all negative changes, bruv.
No, I don't think so. Look, I reckon there's some people who want to raise tax. Are you happy with that?
Well, no, but if it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
No, but you're one of the majority, you said.
Majority of people that won't vote.
That won't vote, but you probably could make the change.
If everyone voted.
Yeah, well...
If everyone voted.
But you're that one person.
What they should do is make it compulsory. Rather than making it an option, they should make it compulsory. Then...
How do you enforce that, though?
Well, electoral register, it becomes a bit difficult, because then you're almost saying... Well, it's not really... what's the word I'm after? It's getting rid of your rights a little bit, because then if you're forced to vote, then
should 16 to 17 year olds vote?
Yeah, look, because they're, if you think about where we're heading with, you know, individual society where people are changing the future at a younger age, why would you not? How many 16 to 17 year old millionaires are there in the world?
But here's the thing with 16 to 17 year olds, right? They fall into a certain tax bracket. So when someone like Labour would say, we're going to increase minimum wage to X amount, they're going to think, you know what, more money in my pocket.
Yeah, true.
For now.
Valid.
But when you're in your professional and you're in a certain tax bracket, chasing a certain career, you probably want to vote for Conservative.
Mm.
So regardless of the parties and who's representing the parties, I'm probably going to vote Conservative.
Yeah.
Based on my lifestyle.
Yeah.
What I believe, how I believe the country should be handled, not so much run, because I don't think Boris Johnson's the right person, but I'm probably going to vote Conservative.
But you're basing it on taxes alone?
I'm basing it on what I think is going to affect me the most. So tax is one thing, there are other things, but I need to read up on the policy, so don't...
Yeah.
So you're basing it on something...
Don't bait me out here!
Everyone will just base it on the same thing as tax. That's NHS and tax, that's the two things. And they go hand in hand, because everyone wants a free medical healthcare system. Everyone wants that, but at the same time, they don't want to pay major taxes. So something's got to give.
Well, like I say, I mean, when it comes down to voting, you're not looking at what they're going to do for the country. You, like you said, it's about how it's going to affect you.
Yeah, it's all about and all selfish.
Yeah, that's just the way the world is right now. So for you, the major thing would be tax, right? Mm. What you look at for whichever party you vote for. But I think with this election, I think the key thing, again, is probably Brexit.
This election will probably break records for the most participation.
Yeah, I got that. I think
I'd probably agree with that.
No.
Absolutely, 100%.
You think? I think
UK history.
I think if they...
Unless they went back
did,
to winning.
If they did a referendum and they said you can re-vote for Brexit, I think you see more people coming out to vote.
Yeah, but I think more people will vote because there's still a lot of people that don't want Brexit. There's a lot of people that don't want Brexit.
Brexit's going to happen regardless.
I think Lib Dems stand a chance of coming into power.
No, they're not enough seats.
What are you saying? I mean, to be honest,
you study government and politics, you should know better than that.
They haven't got enough seats. Based on history,
it'll probably it'll be
Labour and
hum, Parliament.
Between Labour,
yeah, it'll be a coalition again. Whoever comes up, but
I don't think I think it won't be. I think Conservatives will dominate.
We'll take it outright.
Take the majority.
Based on what?
I don't think so.
Based on your tax theory.
No, I think in general, I think they're set up. So I think how the DUP sided them before, the DUP gave them enough to be a majority, right? You knew this?
Yeah.
I'm listening.
Yeah. I'll talk to this geezer because you ain't got a clue.
So the DUP, it's
like six seats or whatever it was, right? Ten seats. That was enough to allow them a majority. I think the same will happen this time. If it goes the other way, someone like the Lib Dems, the Brexit Party, all these guys, if they side with Labour, it will be a hung coalition parliament. That's what I reckon.
Well, the thing is, you say the DUP, but they've withdrawn the support from the Conservatives.
That's only because of his Brexit stance.
Yeah.
The backstop.
Because the Brexit is going to be a key factor for a lot of people.
I know shit, bruv.
So the three party stances are obviously the Conservatives. They want to get out. They want to get a deal done as soon as possible. They want to leave at the end of January. Is it January?
January 31st.
Yeah. Labour are saying that we'll get a deal and we'll do another referendum. Either take this deal or we will stay. That's what Labour want to do. Whereas Lib Dems are saying we're just going to revoke.
I don't think Labour would be able to do that. I think they're going to have to get a deal. I think it's too much now. It won't happen. Because if you do that, you're going to have another campaign for Brexit. It's going to cost millions again, and it may not happen
That doesn't make no difference.
It's never really affected.
Well, money's not a thing for them, though.
It'd be nice for them to have a bit of money, to be honest.
Anyway, podcast's getting a bit serious now.
So I think the way we should finish these podcasts, as this is episode one, with a bit of wisdom.
Okay.
So I don't know if you guys have got any wisdom, but... So, I've got a couple.
Don't vote.
Oh, that is absolutely awful advice for the four listeners. That is awful. I've got two. So, the first one is red flags in your life. So, we discussed this before,
didn't
it?
Yeah, red flags. But,
so, in my life, throughout my years, whether it's kind of in my 10s, 20s, and now 30s, early 30s, by the way, When I'd see a red flag, I just kind of put it on the back burner, and I wouldn't act upon it. I wouldn't really take my gut feeling, and it would probably go to burn me later down the line. So I think if you've got a lot of the time your gut instinct, I think you should follow it. If you're a logical person, I think you should follow it. If you see a red flag, talk to someone about it, and address it quickly, because otherwise a small problem it will snowball. So that would be my advice. I don't know what you think about that.
I think red flags are, you're surrounded by them every now and then, aren't you? Depending on where you are in your life. And they all mean different things. And something small can be a red flag to you as a kid. And it'll seem like the end of the world. But I think you'd always, you're right, you go with your gut. And that's really important. But your gut in those scenarios will often tempt you to that red flag. It'll want you to carry on taking that red flag or enjoy that moment with the red flag or whatever it is. And then you look back and you think, what an idiot I was, you know, and that's hindsight.
So yeah, I don't know how many times you feel like you can get burnt though. I think that's the thing. It's now, having that kind of experience, exposure to whatever it is, whether it's you get screwed in a job or whatever in your early 20s is experience. But from now on, where more of your decisions are crucial now. from your 30s onwards, I feel like when you're making moves, they've got to be proper chess moves. So if you see a red flag, I reckon you should just nip it in the bud straight away. That's what I think anyway.
I think the red flags are probably aren't red flags anymore. They're probably just like, I've been burnt once, I don't need it again.
Yeah, I've seen this again.
I mean, when you talk about red flags, I think it depends. Like, each red flag's going to be different.
I think it's just...
gut feeling, you can go for that, but sometimes your gut feeling can be wrong.
It can be. It's a tough one, really. I mean, you base it a lot of your experience, I think. Last one. Stop looking down, start looking up.
What the fuck is that?
A lot of people are sitting there looking on their phones these days. I am definitely one of those people. So, you know when I'm sitting around you boys and we go out for dinner or whatever, and I say, stop looking at your phones? Because yeah. I get annoyed. I get annoyed. If I'm with people and they're sitting and looking on your phones, I get annoyed by that. Because you think you're not putting your time into the people you're with. But I'm being a bit hypocritical, because when I'm at home and I'm sitting in bed, I'm on the phone, the missus is like, what are you doing? So I think it's one of those things, just put the phone down and start appreciating the people around you. On that note, we can end this podcast.
Good night. I'm going to have a piss.